Well, I invite you to take your Bible in hand and turn to Psalm 31. We're going to read that psalm in its entirety this morning. We are facing right now a time of pressure that in many ways is unprecedented for all of us now living. I'm sure there have been times in centuries past when similar circumstances have occurred, and perhaps we have heard or we've read about those times, but none of us now living have experienced such times until now. And there are many unknowns. You know, the number of people infected with the COVID-19 virus continues to escalate, and we don't know how high that number is going to go. We don't know if one or more of us are going to be among the number infected, and if we are, whether we will survive it. We don't know what will be the economic impact of it all, what will be the financial impact upon ourselves and our families, and how long-lasting that impact will be. That's a lot of pressure we are dealing with. These times should serve as a reminder that all of those things really have always been unknown to us. We've never known what tomorrow holds for us in this world. It might hold sickness, it might hold poverty, it might hold any number of hardships. We simply don't know. And though from time to time, you know, that pressure of not knowing tomorrow may have resulted in a certain level of stress in our minds and to various degrees, what we're all facing right now together, it can cause that stress to come to the surface of our thoughts and then bring it to a boiling point. And the external pressure, well, it can cause anxiety and fear. You know, the unknowns can make us worry, make us afraid. And in fact, anxiety and fear is a natural response to such unknowns. And it may be unknowns related to this pandemic. It may not be related at all. I mean, it could be pressure that's resulting from a relationship that's in turmoil, or it may be pressure from fierce demands that are on you as a student in your studies or in your work, in your vocation. The external pressures can create internal stress, and with the internal stress comes anxiety and fear. Well, today God's word will remind us that anxiety and fear when facing the unknown is conquered by trusting in what we know, or rather by trusting in who we know. The word of God has many passages that arm us to defeat anxiety and fear. In fact, do not be afraid is the most repeated command in Scripture. And the Bible does not give us commands for which it does not show us the means by which we can obey those commands. God does not do that to His people. God tells us, do not be afraid, and then God tells us why. And if we know God, now we have all that we need to be strong rather than anxious and to be courageous rather than afraid. And Psalm 31 is just one of those passages. So give your full attention to the reading of God's word. To the choir master, a psalm of David. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress, and for your namesake you lead me and guide me. You take me out of the net they have hidden for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. I hate those who pay regard to worthless idols, but I trust in the Lord. I will rejoice and be glad in your steadfast love, because you have seen my affliction. You have known the distress of my soul, and you have not delivered me into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a broad place. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye is wasted from grief, my soul and my body also. For my life is spent with sorrow, and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity, and my bones waste away. Because of all my adversaries, I have become a reproach, especially to my neighbors, and an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I have been forgotten like one who is dead. I have become like a broken vessel, for I hear the whispering of many, terror on every side, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from my persecutors. Make your face shine on your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. O Lord, let me not be put to shame, for I call upon you. Let the wicked be put to shame. Let them go silently to Sheol. Let the lying lips be mute, which speak insolently against the righteous in pride and contempt. Oh, how abundant is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you and worked for those who take refuge in you in the sight of the children of mankind. In the cover of your presence, you hide them from the plots of men. You store them in your shelter from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has wondrously shown his steadfast love to me. When I was in a besieged city, I had said in my alarm, I am cut off from your sight. But you heard the voice of my pleas for mercy when I cried to you for help. Love the Lord, all you his saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but abundantly repays the one who acts in pride. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord. Father, we pray that you would bless this preaching today of your word, this preaching of this psalm, to the end that you would be glorified, to the end that your people would be built up, to the end that our hearts would be encouraged, that we would be strong as we wait upon you. We ask these things in your precious and holy name, Jesus. Amen. People deal with external pressures and internal stress in different ways. Some turn to exercise, which can be beneficial. I mean, the Bible says that bodily training is of some value. We are made up of body and soul, and we ought to be good stewards of our bodies, getting as much physical exercise as we can. So taking a walk or going for a run or a bike ride, it can be of some help to us. These things are good to do. But even though exercise can be of some help to us, exercise is not the final answer to dealing with external pressures and internal stress. Now, some turn to food when they're under pressure, which is not beneficial. We even speak of comfort foods, right? And so to eat an entire box of Girl Scout cookies when you're under pressure is not going to help you to conquer your fears. I mean, tag-alongs are good, but they're just not good for that. And some seek to lose themselves or remove themselves from the pressure and lose themselves by binge-watching television shows, movies, or binge-playing video games. But trying to escape reality won't work. And some seek to numb themselves from the pressure with alcohol or other drugs. You know, I found it sad that in recent days, as various businesses were ordered to close in a wise effort to seek to slow the spread of the coronavirus, and then essential businesses, of course, were allowed to remain open, I found it sad that among the list of essential businesses were liquor stores. Really? Liquor stores are essential? Well, the answer to facing external pressures and internal stress is not to be able to say, I have become comfortably numb. The numbness wears off, the pressure remains, and the stress must be numbed again. It's definitely not the answer, but it certainly is a destructive cycle. Psalm 31 gives us the answer. It's a psalm for strength and courage when we are faced with stress and feeling, faced with pressures and feeling stress. It's a psalm for strength and courage when we're reminded of all the unknowns. So imagine yourself under this kind of pressure. There are people who are intent on hunting you down and killing you. And these people are spreading all sorts of rumors and lies about you so that no one wants to be found anywhere near your presence. And even those people who were once your friends will have nothing to do with you. Your reputation has taken a nosedive. No one wants to be around you because it appears your downfall is imminent, and they don't want to be taken down with you. And so you're isolated. You're all alone. And depression begins to set in. And on top of it all, you come to recognize that sin in your own life has played a part in the pressure that you're experiencing. So on top of the depression, you lay a big dose of guilt. And it's all beginning to take a toll on your body. I mean, you feel as though your strength is just wasting away. All you can do is just sigh. It's like you're wasting away to nothing. That's how David describes his situation in Psalm 31. We don't know the exact details of what David was facing here or when, because quite frankly, David faced several situations in his life that fit this description. I mean, this psalm could have been written concerning those times when Saul was seeking to hunt him down, David down, and kill him. But the fact that David refers here to his own iniquity or sin, I think that David probably wrote Psalm 31 about those times when his son Absalom had rebelled against David's reign and was seeking to kill him. And David remembered his own sin concerning Bathsheba and her husband Uriah. So these words are not written by a man who merely speculated about external pressures and internal stress. Now, these words were written by a man who knew all about those things. David was in the thick of the pressure. And inside, he was running a gamut of emotions. We don't help one another very much if we insinuate as Christians that dark emotions are never going to be felt in our lives. I mean, we're speaking wrongly to one another if we insinuate in any way that, you know, if you are feeling sorrow, if you're feeling deep anguish, then, well, you must not be looking to Jesus enough. Well, let's think about that. Let's look to Jesus. Did Jesus feel sorrow? I mean, the shortest verse in the Bible is found in the Gospels. It's easy to memorize. John chapter 11, verse 35, Jesus wept. Did Jesus ever feel deep anguish? Well, he sweat drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane before he was crucified. So trusting Jesus and thus following Jesus does not mean that we're going to go through life never having felt those dark emotions that come from experiencing pressures from a world that is broken in sin. And we're not helping one another if we speak as though that's how it ought to be. Now, there's coming a day. There's coming a day when every tear is going to be wiped away. But today is not yet that day. In fact, the Bible tells us that following Christ, we will actually experience some pressures that we would not have experienced otherwise. The Bible says in 2 Timothy, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Jesus said to his disciples, in this world you will have tribulation. And with that tribulation, we can certainly begin to feel these dark emotions of sorrow and deep anguish, and yes, anxiety and fear. Psalm 31 is written by David, a man who the Bible says was a man after God's own heart. And look at the emotions that David felt in this psalm. Verse 9, he was in distress. He felt grief. Verse 10, sorrow, sighing, failing strength and guilt because of his sin. Verse 12, he was lonely and rejected. Like a broken vessel, he felt useless. Verse 13, he knew fear. people whispering terror on every side. Can you identify with any of those emotions? I can. What do we do with them? Well, the point of Psalm 31 is not to focus on the dark emotions. I mean, it would not be much help to us if that were its point. Now, Psalm 31 teaches us how to counter those dark emotions, how to conquer and defeat the despair and the sorrow and the anguish and, yes, the anxiety and the fear. And the psalm is like a roller coaster of those emotions. I mean, it's really hard to give Psalm 31 a nice, neat, concise outline. Because the psalm, it begins on a high point in verses 1 through 8, and then it dips into despair in verses 9 through 13, and then it's back up on a high point in verses 14 through 16, and then it's down again in verses 17 and 18, and then it's up again to the end of the psalm. It's normal for us to ride that roller coaster of emotions when we're in the midst of the pressures that come with living in a world that is broken by sin, and especially a trial like the one we face today that is unprecedented for all of us and with many, many unknowns. The key is to counter those pressures, to counter those emotions we feel with the only remedy, the one and only remedy, and that's trusting in the God we know and all that we know about Him. You see, if we know God intimately and we're trusting God fully, we have nothing to worry about. And we have nothing to fear. So I want us to see this morning how David did that in this psalm. David was prepared for the pressures of life through a personal, intimate knowledge of God. We need to be prepared for the pressures of life through a personal, intimate knowledge of God. Look at all that David says about God in this psalm. Verse 1, God is a refuge. God is righteous. God is a deliverer. Verse 2, God hears and answers prayer. God is a rescuer, a rock of refuge and a strong fortress. Verse 3, again, God is a rock and a fortress. God leads and guides for His name's sake. Verse 4, again, He's a rescuer and a refuge. Verse 5, God is the Redeemer. God is faithful. Verse 7, God has steadfast love. God sees affliction and the distress of the soul. Verse 8, again, God is a deliverer who secures us. Verses 9 and 10, God is gracious and forgiving of sin. Verse 14, You are my God, David says. This is intensely personal. Verse 15, God is sovereign. My times are in Your hands, David says. And again, God is a rescuer. We could go on, but the point is that David was prepared for the pressure that came into his life because he knew God personally and intimately, and he trusted that God, countering the emotions that he felt with simple faith in this God he knew. You can't have a sustained strength and courage that comes with trusting God if you don't know God personally and intimately. And you can know God only through His Word, which is able to make us wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. David had come to know God by being immersed in Scripture. He knew that God was all of those wonderful things that we just spoke of because God had revealed Himself to be so in His Word. So when the pressures hit, David was ready to counter those pressures and to counter the emotions that he was feeling in the midst of them with the truth of who God is. He had the worry-busting, fear-conquering weapon of the Word of God through which he had come into a personal relationship with God. And if you and I are going to be able to meet these pressures that are upon us and to counter the emotions that we feel in the midst of them, then we must know who our God is as He's revealed Himself in His Word. We must read the Bible and study the Bible and memorize it and meditate upon it, immerse ourselves in Scripture that tells us who our God is. So for the rest of our time today, we're going to discuss three attributes of God that David speaks to in this psalm. Now, this list is by no means exhaustive. God has many wonderful attributes. But these three attributes are especially powerful to arm us to defeat anxiety and fear when we are facing pressures like the one we're facing today. So attribute number one, God is a gracious God who forgives sin. God is a gracious God who forgives sin. The fact of the matter is, some of the pressures that we face are actually consequences of sin in our own lives. David's was. He says there in verse 10 of Psalm 31, "My strength fails because of my iniquity." In Psalm 51, David cried out to God, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love and your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me of my sin. Deliver me from blood guiltiness." David knew that God is a gracious God who forgives our sin when we confess that sin and we repent of it. David knew that God is a redeeming God. You know how David knew that? Because he had read it in Scripture. And because he had experienced this redeeming God in his own life. Now, we know even more than David how it is that God is the redeeming God. How it is that God, a holy God, can justly forgive us of our sins against him. God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross to purchase our redemption, to secure the forgiveness of our sins. So what was true for David then is true for you and I today, that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we know, we understand now that it's because in the fullness of time, Christ paid the penalty of our sin at the cross. So God is a gracious God who forgives our sin when we repent of our sin and we turn to Christ in faith. But God does not always remove the temporal consequences brought about by our sin. Sometimes those pressures remain. That said, Psalm 31 teaches us that whatever the pressure and whatever its causes, God is a refuge for us. And even if it's a hardship in our life that has been brought about by sin in our lives, God is a refuge for us. If our repentance is sincere and if our eyes turn to God in faith, then he will show himself to be a refuge for us. His radical grace abounds to us. And the redeeming Lord will show himself as an impenetrable fortress for us. So if you have a hardship, if you have a pressure in your life that has been brought on you by some sin in your life, do not despair and run from God. Repent and run to God, and you will find God to be the safest of all places. A refuge. Fear God, and you won't have to fear anything else. And you'll have strength and courage to face whatever may come. God is a gracious God who forgives sin. The Bible says so. And you can always trust what the Bible says. So do you know this by experience? Have you received this forgiving grace of God found only in Christ? Because the greatest pressure that you face, whether you recognize this or not, the greatest pressure you face is the wrath of a holy God upon your sin. And if you are not in Christ, that wrath is on you now. And it's only going to get worse for all eternity. The only remedy to that pressure, that ultimate pressure, the wrath of God, the only remedy is to receive God's forgiving grace through faith in Christ. God is a gracious God who forgives sin. And there's strength and courage to be found in knowing that truth. Attribute number two, God is sovereign over all. God is sovereign over all. You know, much about our lives right now feels like everything is spinning out of control. Does it not? Many are the unknowns. But God knows all. And even more, God is in control of all. David writes there in verse 10, "My times are in your hand." God is in control of all of history, and all of history is working according to his will. Nations rise and fall according to his design. Kings, presidents, and prime ministers are put in place according to his design. When desolations come upon the earth, the sovereign king of the universe has not set aside his crown. God is God, and nothing can thwart his will. But let's bring his sovereignty close to home, because that's what David does here. He says, "My times are in your hands." So we may not know, we do not know what tomorrow holds. And perhaps we're feeling that even more acutely in these days, that we don't know what tomorrow holds. But we can know who holds in his hand tomorrow and the day after that and the week after that and the month after that and the year after that and all the years that follow to the end of the age. You will face no situation in which God is not in complete control. You will face no pressure in your life in which God has stretched out to take a nap and left you to fend for yourself. We studied just a couple of months ago, we studied Psalm 121, where the Bible says, "He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." He will keep your life. He will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. So where is God when we face such great pressures like what we're facing right now? I mean, that's a fair question. A lot of people ask that question. Many people are probably asking that question today. Maybe somebody watching this live stream. Maybe you are. I mean, we're facing this unprecedented pressure. Where is God? If he's sovereign, why is he letting all this happen? The answer to that question is simple, but it's not simplistic. God allows pressures to come into our lives so that we might learn to turn to him as our one and only refuge. So that we might have the blessing and the joy of tasting and seeing really that God is a rock and a refuge, that he is a fortress and a rescuer and a deliverer, and that he is merciful and gracious, and he is abounding in steadfast love. Just ask our brother Job. I mean, there's a whole book in the Bible written about the pressures that Job faced. And in the end, Job found that the pressures were worth it because he came to know God more intimately. There are many things outside of our control, countless things outside of our control, but there's nothing outside of God's control. God is sovereign. He's sovereign over all. And there's strength and courage to be found in knowing that truth. Attribute number 3. God is a God of steadfast love. God is a God of steadfast love. The fatalist hears that God is sovereign and says, "Well, I guess I must just stoically accept it. Whatever will be, will be." But the fatalist has an incomplete knowledge of God. See, not only is God sovereign, but God is a personal God who cares about us in every way. David knew this to be the case about God. I mean, David says in verses 7 and 8, look at verses 7 and 8. "I will rejoice and be glad in your steadfast love, because you have seen my affliction. You have known the distress of my soul, and you have not delivered me into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a broad place." Now, the pressures were still there, but God had placed David on stable ground, on solid rock. So David says, if you look down in verse 14, David says, "But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God." David knew the sovereign God personally, and David knew that God loved him with a love that stands fast, a love that will hold when everything else gives way. And so David was enabled then to trust God in everything, the pleasant and the painful. And so can you if you know it. Hudson Taylor was a missionary to China, faced much pressure and in many ways while he labored there. And this is what Hudson Taylor said. It does not matter how great the pressure is. What really matters is where the pressure lies, whether it comes between me and God or whether it presses me nearer to God's heart. You know, when we face pressure, Satan, our enemy, tempts us to doubt either God's power or God's love. Either God doesn't have the power to do something for me in the midst of my suffering, to be my deliverer, or God doesn't care to do so. Those are the two temptations Satan brings our way. I mean, David said in verses 21 and 22, look at verses 21 and 22. He said, I was in a besieged city. I had said in my alarm, I am cut off from your sight. Does it not feel like we're in a city right now that's besieged by an unseen enemy? You bet it does. And if we fall to the temptation to doubt either God's power or God's love, then we're going to be overwhelmed with the dark emotions that are felt when we face such pressures. We're going to be overwhelmed by anxiety and fear that those pressures naturally ignite. David here says, I had said in my alarm, I am cut off from your sight, but you heard the voice of my pleas for mercy when I cried to you for help. In the New Testament, the Bible tells us to cast all of our anxieties upon God, for He cares for us. It bears stressing that Psalm 31 is a prayer. I mean, the psalm begins, In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Mark Kiefer read at the beginning of our worship this morning from Philippians, where the Bible says, Do not be anxious about anything. It bears repeating, doesn't it? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. If we know God as He has revealed Himself to us in His Word, then we are prepared then to call out to God for strength and courage when we are in the midst of the pressures faced in a world broken by sin. But it's something that we must do. I mean, it's not passive. It's an active turning to God in prayer, assured that He is, in fact, a refuge and a fortress and a rock and a rescuer and a deliverer and merciful and abounding in steadfast love. And God will answer. God will answer our prayers, and He will prove Himself to be all that He has said He is. And those dark emotions that we're feeling, the anxiety and the fear, well, they'll be conquered. They'll be defeated. They'll be laid right down on the ground by an inner peace and joyful praise exhibited by the people who love God, know God, and trust Him. I mean, listen to what David says. Blessed be the Lord. He's in the midst of pressure still. Blessed be the Lord, for He has wondrously shown His steadfast love to me. In his commentary on this psalm, W.S. Plummer, many years ago, wrote these words, and I thought these words were especially applicable to us in our present situation. He wrote, It is an unspeakable blessing to be allowed to lead a quiet and peaceable life, even though it be in troublesome times when the world is all in an uproar. How applicable is that? This can never be done but by that peace which is God's peculiar gift. And that peace comes as a product of the steadfast love of God. For God is a God of steadfast love. And there's strength and courage to be found in knowing that truth. In closing, we should note that this psalm was one which the Lord Jesus Christ quoted from the cross. That on the cross, Jesus quoted Psalm 31, verse 5. Into your hand I commit my spirit. This gracious, sovereign, loving God has loved us by identifying with us in the most profound way. That the Son of God became flesh and he dwelt among us. He entered into the pressures of this world broken by our sin. He is acquainted with our sorrow and our anguish. And then he went to a rugged tree to be nailed there, to be crucified, to bear the wrath of God, to bear the penalty for our sin, which brought all of that sorrow and anguish about. And he did so, entrusting himself to his sovereign Father who loves him. And by faith in Jesus, we follow Jesus' example. For our Lord has said, in this world you will have tribulation. Take heart. I have overcome the world. Pressures are real. The feelings, the emotions are felt. The one and only remedy that Psalm 31 holds out to us is in the final verse of the psalm. Summed up there, I should say. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord.